Welcome to the Why Isn't It Working? Business and Tech Podcast, talking all things business and tech in the emerging and enterprise space. Here are your hosts, Carl Wood and Michael Hamilton.
Hi, and welcome to the podcast. Today I have Natalia, who is a senior consultant, talent acquisition, platform engineering, and cloud at Deloitte. How are you today, Natalia?
I'm good, Michael. How are you?
I'm very good, very good. Do you want to give us some background on your journey to date? I know it's a very long one and quite experienced there, but do you want to give us a bit of background to yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to. I look after currently the platform engineering and the cloud engineering teams at Deloitte for talent acquisition. I've been in recruitment probably for around 6 years. I started a new venture coming from an IT background, moved over to Australia and kind of kickstarted my career in recruitment, specifically in the software development space, which I absolutely love. And throughout my journey, I've worked with various companies as an internal recruiter coming from agency. I started an agency, had first 12 or 18 months in agency, then realized that I think my softer skills needed to be used elsewhere. So moved myself internally. And I've had full 6 years in terms of my talent acquisition experience. And I've worked with some amazing companies, some startup companies, and building out the engineering teams for those guys, and then slowly moving my way into a more, I guess, talent-focused strategic direction in terms of my career, moving over to Big Four at the beginning of this year, which has been a massive change. But I absolutely love it, and I love the team that I work with.
Love it. It's great. A lot of experience there. So look, last couple of weeks with our episodes, we've always been talking about COVID later on in the conversation, but I thought I might bring it up early for you, considering this year and how busy you've been. What's COVID done for you? What's your thoughts around that?
I think at the beginning, obviously, everyone was quite scared, and it was the unknown, and we'd never been through a pandemic like this before, and it was kind of all a bit weird. And what does that mean for us? What does that mean for the economy, for our jobs? I don't think we had those thoughts until a couple months in, when we realized that the world had stopped. But I think for me personally, it was such a reflection point. It gave me the opportunity to just slow down for a moment, and being in such a fast-paced and high-volume role, you don't really get a chance to just sit down and reflect on everything and what has been and what could be, and where you are in the current moment. So I think for me, it was really interesting to just sit down and reflect on my career as a whole, what I've done so far in the last 6 years and my transitioning over to Australia, and what that's meant for my life and the changes, but also giving me some time to focus on the things that I know I really love doing, and maybe those bits that I don't enjoy as much and maybe cause me some levels of stress or things that I don't really enjoy that much in the day-to-day lifestyle of recruitment. And I guess where those gaps and opportunities are. So you don't really get a moment when you're doing a high volume role, and I've always done high volume, you don't really get a moment to sit and think, oh, wouldn't it be great if we did something like this, or we could actually kind of solve that problem if we did this. But it's having the time to actually put into it, kind of project work, if you like, because recruiters never get time to do project work. We start something and we never get to finish it because it's so active every day and transactional as well. And just having that reflection time to think about how I could maybe upskill myself and do my role better in the current climate with all the changes that COVID has brought to the world.
And because at Deloitte, you'd be more involved with the DevOps process with the cloud, or is it also just cloud functionality, or is it a bit of both?
Yeah. In terms of the technical skills of the guys at Deloitte? So we have a variety of teams across platform engineering and also cloud. So for example, in cloud engineering, the practices are kind of split up. So we've got network solutions, we've got the DevOps team, and then we've also got the cloud advisory team. And the skills certainly are very cross-functional, but also very different in each team, as you can kind of make note, cloud advisory is really the advisory piece in terms of cloud and hybrid cloud environments to our clients. Then you've kind of got the cloud engineering team, which is very much focused in the DevOps environment. And I guess that those cloud architecture, designing pipelines, being able to deploy them, solutions for clients in the DevOps world. And then you've got like our networking solutions team, which kind of is now transitioning over to that DevSecOps space where, you know, ultimately DevOps never used to be a thing, and it's kind of coming into play now. And we've got a really skinny market of those that really know those skills and have those skills, but it's definitely growing in front of our eyes at a rapid rate. So that's what my cloud team do. And as for platform engineering, it's very cross-skilled in terms of service delivery, quality engineering, platform engineering, all sorts of different skill sets there. I could probably sit here all day and reel them off. But yeah, developers, architects, managers, consultants, all sorts, service desk, absolutely everything you could imagine in that realm. So yeah, pretty exciting actually.
You are busy, aren't you? You're very busy.
Yeah, very busy.
So what's the hardest part with finding the right skill sets in Australia? Like how you go about finding these people?
I think this is kind of, and my opinion really, in terms of consulting and then in terms of, you know, your other types of businesses outside of the big four or outside of management consulting professional services, it is very different. I think my one biggest fear coming into Deloitte was, I have a network that I've kind of built and nurtured over 6 years, but in the startup area, how can I leverage my network, which is my biggest asset as a recruiter, to come into a big four? How does that work? And there are specific gaps in terms of the, you know, the people that I used to hire, the engineers that I used to work with in comparison to the consultants at Deloitte and the senior managers at Deloitte. So there is definitely a difference there in terms of network and skills. But in terms of Deloitte specifically, it's really quite hard to pinpoint the right type of person. They've also got to be a person that enjoys client facing. In consulting, it's all about our clients. So it's all about how can we bring you the best solution with the time and the budget and the people that we've got available to be able to do it for you so that it's all in line. And be able to offer you that will help you go to that next phase of your business. So it's all of the pieces put together, like advisory, and then you've got your platform services and you've got your network engineers and you've got your architects. And it's kind of like a whole experience in one when you come to somewhere like Deloitte for consulting. So the skills really do have to be quite cross-functional. We don't necessarily look for, say, just one DevOps engineer as a senior consultant. The DevOps engineer would need to be able to work across cross-functional teams, various project teams. They'll have different people on different engagements. They also need to be able to be client-facing. There's a lot of client-facing work that needs to be done there, whether it be training, whether it be, coming over to the client meetings every week or stand-ups, whatever it is that needs to be done. So that communication and soft skill aspect is a massive for something like Big Four or somewhere like Deloitte. And then also those tech skills that go with it. And again, like I said, it's not just a specific skill set in our cloud team or our platform engineering team. It's you have to be very flexible and be able to be cross-functional because no engagement is the same. Every single client is going to need a different solution. So we have to be able to have people that can flex.
I'll tell you what, you've hit the nail on the head with the soft skills, obviously. So you've got these engineers going through and doing technical work, but going in and talking to the client more frequently, trying to explain technical items, but more in a summarized format. Do you guys, how are you going finding that skill set? Do you have to train it? Do you have to upgrade it? Is it something that's there? How are you finding that in your interview process?
There are struggles with it and there are challenges and there certainly are people that stand out above others. And those usually do come from a consulting background or come from an area of being exposed to clients a little bit more in their roles. So you won't necessarily have Bob that has worked at a startup company in the engineering team as a DevOps engineer for the last 3 or 4 years coming in at consultant level at Deloitte, having never worked with a client on an end-to-end solution. Bob actually only works on the DevOps side of the platform at his current role and his current company. So it's the broader mindset. I think it also comes with experience, not necessarily having consulting experience. It's also having experience in general. I've never worked for Big Four before. I've never worked for a consultancy, you know, yet I managed to, you know, pass through my grueling interviews and get into Deloitte. But that wasn't just because I had experience in recruitment. It was because I had the soft skill aspect to bring with me. I had worked at stakeholder level. I had done high volume recruitment. I had worked on like EVPs and all of those things internally, and I could bring and transfer those skills over to Deloitte. So it's not necessarily about, oh, you have to have consulting experience. It is about that soft skill aspect and how much experience do you actually have grown into your role? Can you relay that technical information to a non-technical person? Can you help them understand where you're currently at, but also what the broader roadmap looks like, not just the one little piece of information that you're working on looks like? And I think that's what people misunderstand when it comes to consulting, is you can't just understand one little bit of the puzzle. You have to understand the whole puzzle to then be able to relay that and discuss it. And I think that is probably the key in getting the right person, is someone that can actually see it from a broader perspective, but then also understand what their deliverables are as well. And when they're cut up into chunks, know exactly what they need to do and how it fits into the puzzle.
And you have to select from the local talent pool in Australia too for Deloitte, I understand. Obviously being here, I know we talked to a lot of other people overseas who are recruiting during COVID. They've been able to expand their radius or their range to other countries. But I know in Australia, it's a little bit harder, the time zone and other items and other restrictions. But how are you finding the remote interview process? Obviously over Zoom, like we're talking now. How do you find that process by selecting the right candidate, or even shortlisting them, or trying to work out if they're up for the job?
Yeah. So obviously previously to COVID, everyone was meeting in person, which now seems really weird. It seems like that we never did that, and it seems really strange. I actually worked very, very closely with my teams in the downtime in COVID, where we did have hiring restrictions, to be able to put in place a really strong, solid process where we could still sieve out and screen the right type of talent. So there's kind of a few aspects here. In terms of COVID, obviously you're looking at high volume recruitment anyway in Deloitte, but even higher when it comes to the point that people have lost their roles. So you're kind of doubling the amount of applications that you're going to get through at any one time, because there are more people that are in that position where they haven't got a role anymore. And it's kind of being smart in a way of, how do I actually screen the majority of those people that would suit the profile, give them all an opportunity, but add quality and time back to my hiring managers? Because it's absolutely impossible to have a certain number of requisitions or job openings and then screen and interview every single person. As much as we would all love to give everyone that opportunity, it's not going to happen. So you have that initial screening phase, which is, you know, I guess the generic salary and visa situation and location, et cetera, which is all kind of done at application stage. So when you're applying to a role, you will give us details in terms of, you know, where you're at with your visa or what kind of salary expectations you have, what your notice period is and where you're located, et cetera. And those are like the beginning ticks in the boxes. That starts the process, right? Shy of that, then what usually happens is that I will go through and I will screen through the resumes and pick out those people that really have those key skills that we're looking for. So I do screen every single resume that comes through. So sometimes my eyes get really tired, but I screen every single one that comes through, and I will look at every single one that comes through and then determine whether we want to transfer them over into the first stages of the actual interview processes. So we shortlist them. Once they've been shortlisted, we set in time this video. We use actually a video interview platform. So what I've done is I've worked with all of my hiring managers and asked them, what are the first five questions that you would ask a potential employee coming into your team? Give me those five intro questions that you want answered that I can put into this video interview so that we can get the right responses at the start. Because ultimately, I think what we found, and we might go back to this, is that there are a lot of late dropouts. So you kind of go through the stages and you get to a technical challenge and then that's it. They've kind of squashed that and they don't go any further. And that's all business time. And that's also candidate time as well, you know? So it's about having the right screening at the beginning and being able to put in a good process. So you do the video interview stage, our managers will review that. Then they'll go through to first interview stage, which means that they'll come in and via Zoom, they'll meet a manager, have conversations with their manager, director, whomever's available, and have a little bit more of an in-depth and more personal conversation about where they're at with their skills and experience, what they're looking to do, the technical aspect of their profile, etc. You can always talk about that, but it's kind of proof in the pudding. So then the next step would be like a case study or a technical challenge. And we've actually built our own. So we've got some AWS built tech challenges that we can send out. And we've also got case studies as well. So a variety of different options, again, skill dependent and depending on what we're testing. So that comes as the next part. And then after that, we do always ask for them to present back, because ultimately, again, going back to my first, I guess, answer to your question is, in consulting, you've got to be able to have those great communication skills. You've got to be able to articulate your answers, be direct, be on point, you know, not trail off into other lands and kind of just get your point across, and also how you present yourself professional. Hence we are professional services. But yeah, so they'll have to go through presenting that case study back, and then it's on to partner interview. And that's kind of like the final for us to wrap up and do an offer. So I worked really, really closely with my team to define what those steps would look like for each and every team that I work with, because every team have different roles and different expectations and different hiring expectations. And so I kind of tailor-made them, and I used COVID time to be able to do that. And actually now coming into play, since we picked up some roles and, you know, we're kind of moving into that next phase of post-COVID, it's been working really, really well.
And what are you finding at the moment with the shortage or skills shortage when you're going through the CVs or you're interviewing people? What's the thing that stands out for the most for you for skills that are missing, technical ones, that is, in the candidates?
So good question, actually, because I have recently been asked about why there is such a shortage in the area of cloud. So AWS, not so much DevOps engineers, but AWS and cloud engineers, and also people that will understand like microservices environments or Kubernetes environments or those specific tech stacks that are just starting to emerge. Kubernetes has always been there, you know, the last couple of years, but not to a point where people actually understand the patterns and how it's implemented and why we would implement something like Kubernetes into the DevOps environment or the cloud environment. And also people that understand the difference between those on-prem and hybrid cloud environments, and also the transitions and the migrations. It's still very, very new, and not a lot of people have worked on an end-to-end migration or, I guess, an end-to-end piece in terms of setting up multiple environments for clients or solutions. So it's quite in-depth, and you need to understand your tech stack well, and you need to understand cloud as a whole to be able to add value in terms of what you do in your role at Deloitte. So it has been very skinny, to say the least, to find people that have the soft skill aspect as well as the strong technical skill aspect, or even just the passion and the willingness to learn and throw themselves out there and grow themselves in that environment. If you don't love what you do, then you'll never be good at it. That's what I always say. If you don't sit there and absolutely love what you do, you're never going to want to learn it in and out, and you're never going to be good at it. So I feel like there's a lot of people that want to go to cloud and say that they can and say that they will, etc. But do they truly, truly want to do that? And will they put their best efforts and their best foot forward in terms of their growth as well? Because it still is such an immature market, and there is still so much left to grow. It's actually an exciting time, because you think about the potentials and the people that will come out of this grown into that area and making the talent pools a little bit richer. But at this moment in time, I would definitely say the cloud and hybrid cloud environments, and that architecture piece, as well as that development piece and understanding those environments, that's probably the hardest skill set to find, which I'm struggling with for consultancy.
And would you call it more of a engineers that have some sort of architectural understanding of cloud that you need, that kind of you know, the jack of all trades, but don't need to be an expert, but just have an appreciation for it. Is that what you
mean? Yeah. Yeah, and just understanding, like, because ultimately cloud comes as part of also software applications. So if you don't understand the software lifecycle, the testing, you know, the architecture, and maybe even the design patterns, the microservices architectures, if that's applicable to the service, or, you know, you have to kind of understand it holistically as a whole. You can't, like I said earlier, just work on one little piece and be able to then consult out and offer the best conclusion or the best solutions for clients, because you don't understand the other pieces that come with it. You know, and at the moment, I feel like there are a lot of people that are trying to get themselves in a good space to be able to offer virtual working and support all of their employees. And, you know, they didn't have a disaster recovery situation before, and when we never knew pandemic was going to be one of them. So there's some people that are still struggling to get everyone working remotely, you know, and have a seamless solution ready. So there's still a lot of work to be done in terms of, you know, potentials for clients, but also potentials for future studies and people that want to grow in that cloud area. There's a massive opportunity for those that have a passion for it.
Oh, no, you've hit the nail on the head there. That's a common story and a common conversation we have all the time, especially at the meetups that I've been to for DevOps and cloud in general. It's a common conversation. But what leads me to the next question based on that is training. So obviously there's a skill shortage. We are in Australia. Last time I checked, 26 million people, right?
Yeah.
We can't bring everybody in during COVID. So we're going to have to focus on what's there, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if it's not up to scratch or it's not good enough or needs to be uplifted, we need to train these people, right? For those gaps. So how do you go about the training side? Fill those gaps.
Well, the great thing that I love about working at Deloitte is that access to continuous learning. There's a lot of support in Deloitte to get your certifications, to improve yourself. There's lots of training and upskilling and learning platforms that we use, and they're there for the taking. I recently hired a really lovely girl in our cloud engineering team. She came in as a consultant. She'd been on maternity leave, and she hadn't had any time in the last few years, apart from doing her AWS certs and kind of giving herself a little bit of time to bump up her skills while she was off. She hadn't really had access to anything bigger than what she could pay for to get her to where she wanted to be. And she just recently started, and she dropped me a message, and I said to her, why are you online at the weekend? Because I was online booking in interviews and God knows what else. And I was like, what are you doing online at the weekend? And she's like, oh, now I was making the most of all my access to the learning tools at Deloitte, and I'm so excited, and I'm doing this course and that course. And, you know, so that's amazing, right? To have access to online learning. And I feel like there are so many companies that don't have access to that and don't offer that out to their employees. And I feel like that is one of the biggest things, because that in turn, that adds value back to them. Once someone sits and takes time to then invest an hour a week into their learning, it's only going to show in the work that they're doing for you. So it's kind of a return on investment type of situation. Yes, you're paying for the platform and you're having, you know, learning available, but also you've got an employee there that's going to take advantage of that, then we'll trial that out and bring that to the team. So for me, it's a massive plus and a big value add. So that's one thing that I love about Deloitte, is that we really do have that opportunity to upskill and offer that training out. And being such a big firm, there's so much support from HR, from learning teams and all sorts, to be able to push us in the right direction.
Fantastic. I'll tell you what. And also, we've talked about this in the past, as meetups make a big part of it, getting people to go and collaborate, community-based learning, that type of thinking. And that's a big part of it. I know that's been the last 5 years, it's really taken off, and people have learned a lot more than doing training, because sometimes they just do the training online, don't apply it, of course, because that's the other side. But going and collaborating and getting thoughts from other people is really validates what they've done, and they feel confident going forward. But that's a huge one. But I thought, look, you did mention one of my favorite subject matter areas earlier, startups, of course. So you've got a large background in that. Do you want to tell us about your current startup that you're involved with and graduated, leading into training, of course?
Yeah, sure. So I guess a little bit about where I sit in terms of, you know, IT recruitment and why I love it so much is I really do love working in the tech space. I always have. So since I was 17 and I got my first ever job with an internet company, I was always in the IT space, always working with devs, always making them feel even more awkward than they already do because I'm just so loud. I've always loved that space. And I definitely always wanted to keep my, you know, my feet on the ground when it comes to technology. Ultimately, our world is moving that way. I love everything tech. I think I've been on social media since I was about 13 years old. So I've always been in the space of technology, and to see it grow has been amazing, and be part of that growth over the past, I don't know, 18, 20 years or so of my life. But I think one thing that I'm really passionate about, especially in the recruitment space, is graduates. So I did a project for one of my previous startups where they asked me to build out an engineering team of 60 people, and they gave me probably about 12 or 15 months to do it. And as part of that was also a headcount for grads. So it's kind of new to me because I had done a lot of junior recruitment, but never really the graduate space. And we were ready to then hire in grads to the team. So I was super excited. I was like, oh, I can work with these guys. And, you know, all these grads that connect with me and, you know, want to have opportunities, I can now start talking to them about what we've got available. So I started to go into that market, and obviously doing the hiring for that, it was mass hiring. So there were a lot of conversations that had happened between me and the grads. And I realized at one point that the grads were actually lost onto where to go or what to do when they'd finished uni. And we're talking like, this was probably 3 or 4 years ago I did this project. And they said to me, Nat, we're so glad that we found you and that, you know, you could offer us this opportunity. And we didn't know where to go to look for jobs. And we always feel that we don't have any experience, so we're never going to get the job. And there's always going to be someone better than us. And there was this whole like bubble of insecurity around them, which made me really sad because I thought, you are just at the beginning of your career and you should be excited. You should be so excited about what you can achieve and where you can go and bringing those skills and putting them into practice. So I started to realize that there really was a gap there. So fast forward a couple of years, I obviously didn't have much time in terms of my roles and trying to find that space to find a good person to collaborate with and build a platform that might help grads. So when COVID did hit, obviously when we were in lockdown, we were all at home. So that I had a lot of time in the evening, at the weekends, and, you know, I lived on my own and I don't have my family here. So I thought, right, rather than sit here and feel sorry for myself or do nothing about the fact that I've got all this time at home, I'm actually going to do something with it. So I'd had some conversations with a very good friend of mine who's an ex-CTO and very smart developer, and I've worked with for 5 years. And I said to him, you know, we had this conversation last year about building this platform and we want to help grads and whatever. I was like, why don't we just do it now? You know, it's COVID. We're never going to get a better excuse than we're bored at home. You know, let's just do it. I say, let's just do it. It's actually, now that I look at that, I go, I didn't realize it was going to be like this. But so we've worked the last 8 or 9 months, you know, in our spare time to try and just build out this offering to grads. Graduated is the name of the website, and it's still obviously in production, and there's things that are being released all the time because my very good friend and partner Joel is there actually building and coding it himself. So it's not an off the shelf, we're building it completely tailor-made to what I feel with my experience and what Joel feels as well as a hiring manager would be a great platform to introduce graduate engineers to clients and companies that genuinely want to hire just grads. So there's no competition here. This is not a junior role. This is not an experienced role. It is all for graduates only. But it's also a space where they can actually show off their profiles. So we've made it really interactive where they can also see other profiles. If they put themselves live, they can see other live profiles of other students and see where they have interviewed and who they have shown interest in terms of a role, and connect and create that graduate support network, and also through external meetups or whatever that we're going to run and podcasts, but also showcase their profiles to the employer. So they can pre-qualify themselves. We're actually integrating with an external, a government signed off platform where they can actually run visa and work rights checks, and they can bump their profile up and show themselves off and say, this is what I've studied. These are my personal projects. Here's my GitHub link. I've been also pre-qualified myself. This is my working rights. You know, this is who I am, and this is what I can bring to the table. But the best thing about this platform is that it will match the hiring managers to the candidates based on their skills, key skills, and values. So it's not necessarily that the candidate's going to come online and say, I've got all this experience, because they're not, they're grads. But they will have key values, and they will have things that are important to them when starting a new company. I've seen too much attrition in grad recruitment, where they've been put into the wrong role just because they think, oh, wow, I'm, you know, being offered this opportunity and I'm a grad and I should take it. No, I say to them, no, don't take it. Sit and think about what's really important for you. Read the values page of this company and tell me if it aligns with you and you really feel it inside, because that's where you're going to get the most out of your first role. You don't want to then start a role, leave in 6 months or 12 months and, you know, not actually get some solid experience, rather than having to jump around and, you know, try and find the next best thing. So we really focus on trying to bring the right people together and then introducing them. And that, again, is all built in the back end of our system to be able to match them. So it's kind of like a matching engine. But at the same point, really focusing on the soft skills side and the values of each person and each hiring company.
So based on that, with your understanding, what sort of industries do you put those graduates towards? What's they focus on? So what are you trying to place them, or what's the demand there?
So for graduated, we are specifically focusing on software engineering, IT sector. So you could be an experienced designer, a developer, a BA, a DevOps engineer, a cloud engineer, whatever it is that you want to be or you aspire to be. Definitely focus in that software engineering space to start with, because that is my area of forte and also Joel's. I guess it will organically grow out. If there are companies that, you know, come on board and say, hey, Nat, actually, we need marketing assistant grads, or we would like this, or we can trial it. I'm sure we can put things up there. And I've had a lot of interest from people that I've spoken to in my network that have then shared the word to sign up and, you know, support us in this side project, saying, will you hire outside of, software engineering? And it's not a no. But for now, we kind of need to start with what we know, which is the software engineering space. And I also think that because that's such a high in demand market, seeing that we have a huge graduate team at Deloitte as well, there's a lot that goes into grad hires and vacationers and, you know, internships and things like that. But there really is no place for these grads to go. So I'm really hoping to bridge that gap between the graduate and the employer, but also making the grads understand that they have to educate themselves on the market and the employer as a whole. And this is what graduated hopefully will do, is offer that education piece to the candidate, because each employer will have a life page and that's their opportunity to sell their story, right? And so it's a storybook for our candidates to go, wow, look at all these amazing companies, but they are all completely different. And I think the one big thing in hiring is about finding the right person for the job, not just the right skills. And I think a lot of people are very quick to sign people off because they think they fit and tick all the skill boxes, but ultimately you still got attrition. You need to have retention. They need to be happy, because happy people in happy jobs give good results. That is literally that easy.
Well, I don't think it is. You're half wrong there. Now, because the reason why I asked the question is, we've got a lot of money coming onto the market around the world during COVID, stimulus packages, but also low interest rate environments going to create low returns for the average investor. So a lot of investors are going out and investing in startups, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got this mix of startup culture versus enterprise employment. What are you seeing as the emerging side of the economy, not just in Australia, but around the world, but where you see graduated potentially placing people in or positioning them for the future jobs? What's your opinion? That's no right or wrong answer.
That's such a tough question, because it's such a tough question because I feel like there has been a duplication of all these startups. People have had that reflection time, like I said before, and gone off and said, you know what, I'm going to start my own business, or, I'm really good at this. I'm going to go and do it. That's it. I'm going to take the leap of faith and I'm going to go and do it. Because we've been cornered into a place where it's like, you have no other choice but to either take a leap of faith now on your reflection time or just carry on going with the flow. So I feel like there are a lot of emerging startups, and there's going to be some absolutely amazing companies coming on board, and those will not have the budget to then have the luxury of internal recruiters and talent acquisition managers and HR managers and PNCs, and you know, so they will want to go to automated and seamless places where they know that they can actually find top talent rather than it just being an absolute list of all these resumes and having no one to actually cull them or shortlist them. So quality is one thing that I really want to focus on the graduated platform. But also for the bigger companies that, you know, have that high growth, I also feel that there's an opportunity there as well, because like I said, it is a massive gap in the market and there is no platform there to be able to take that space and say, this is what we offer you. And it is very specialist. So, you know, I'm sure there's other platforms that might offer in other areas, but we are saying that we specialize in that software engineering space and IT. And I think rather than trying to do everything and do it mediocre, try and do one thing and do it really, really well. And I've always wanted to do one thing and do it really, really well. Like I am a specialist in my recruitment experience and what I do now, I want to be the same for my side projects or any potential opportunities that I have with a platform. So my personal opinion would be probably, if you're going to split it out, a 70-30 split between startups being the 70% and 30% being the rest. It might even be more 80-20, but I still feel like startups are probably going to take the majority of that market just because of budgets and you know, not being able to have that luxury, like I said.
No, massively. And also you led to that kind of core values conversation. So some people I talk to who work in startups, particularly in Sydney, you know, have a coffee or a beer with them. Number one thing that stands out with them, they have worked in larger companies before, but they just wanted to go to a startup and they're happy to take lower pay. That doesn't mean that they're taking lower pay because they're not good enough or anything like that. They're happy to do that for the right values they want to work for in a startup. That's something that really stood out for me the last 2 years, more than ever in my life. But your platform can really link up those people to those type of jobs that yeah. aren't necessarily for equity. You know, you get some shares, and get return in the future. But yeah. they don't need to be well paid as long as they're happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree. And I think I hope a lot of people have realized this in COVID, that actually they need to do something that fills up their soul, that makes them feel worthwhile, that makes them feel like they're doing a great job. And also, I think the word for this year is fulfillment. Trying to find something that makes you feel fulfilled. Because if you're not doing something that makes you feel like that, it's a really empty space when you're at home and you're restricted and, you know, you can't do anything but pour everything you have into what you do and what you love to do, which in my case is talent acquisition in all forms, whether it be at Deloitte as my current role or whether it be my side project in graduated. That's what I love and that's what makes me feel fulfilled. So I feel like that's a really important takeaway from this year.
And what sort of industries do you deal with mostly? Like, is it financial services? Is it insurance? Is it agriculture? What are the
industries? In terms of Deloitte?
Deloitte and graduated, whatever you're noticing, yeah.
Do you know what? Honestly, I couldn't really comment because I don't really get exposure to the client side of Deloitte because I'm obviously internal. So I'm an internal service through to my consulting teams. But I mean, there is an array of clients, but especially in management consulting, definitely enterprise clients, whatever they may be, whether it be banking, financials, insurance, whatever it will be. But I think now there's a lot more people that need a lot more assistance. So consulting in general, even outside of Deloitte, I feel really will spurge because I feel like people need the SMEs to come in and help them out, but don't necessarily want to hire them. You know, so they don't necessarily need a team of people to put a solution together because that solution then hopefully can be managed by the smaller team or the immediate team that they've already got. But they need to be able to invest in someone that can come in and just basically do the job. So I feel like consultancy will grow after this. This is my own personal opinion, really. I mean, it's already massive as it is, but I feel like especially for those startup areas, like, for example, if I wasn't working at Deloitte, I'm almost positive that I would consult out as a talent acquisition manager And I would just say, yeah, I'm available 3 months, 6 months, 12 month gigs. Let me help you get started and, you know, guide you through that talent acquisition process. I'm sure that's definitely something that I would do, because people don't have, I guess, the budget all the time for forever right now. They want a for now. So they want to fill that gap for now, because what we have seen this year is that literally things can change overnight. So if you don't have disaster recovery solution and you don't know what the next step is going to be, you know, it's going to be really difficult. But if you can have that flex, you know, I feel like RPO, like, you know, recruiters on site, that's going to be the next biggest thing. I feel like most agencies, if they don't move to RPO or consulting to a specific group of companies, I don't see how that traditional agency piece is still going to work with the current changes in the market. But that's my personal opinion.
Well, definitely. Look, it's relationship building. It's not a not treating the resources or the actual recruitment process as a commoditized process, and the people that come with that. There's relationship build and having that honest relationship with your client, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Very important, and understand the problems internally. Because the reason why I ask these questions is, what are you finding that clients need? That's at Deloitte or even graduated, you know, with the IT process. Is it efficiencies, speed, cost reduction? What are you finding is the common theme?
I think it's over all of them. So it is efficiency. It is having the best solution in place for them. And as one of my lovely partners, Liz, who runs the modern systems engineering practice in platform engineering, we did a launch event a couple of days ago. And she was saying there, it's really very much about the client and their solution, very tailor-made. Every single person is different. And they don't want the same thing and they don't need the same thing. You know, that's why we are also different in terms of people as well. Otherwise, we'd all be the same doing the same job. And what does that offer? So I feel like there are so many different areas that need attention, but for different phases of their business life cycle, and also for different businesses in general, you know, everybody kind of needs something different to get them to the next step or across the line. And whatever that may be, they need someone to be able to consult them.
Oh, without doubt. And look, the common theme we're seeing with our guests and so forth in the IT process is the efficiency side. There's this perception that IT is trying to automate everything to reduce jobs and so forth. It's not necessarily the case. It's actually just to get some speed of delivery to their clients or entity to the citizens, right? And that's the key aspect. And obviously you're in the middle of that right now, Ashley, with your, you know, you're seeing it head on. So that's awesome. But the question I want to ask you, one last question there is CVs. Are they a thing of the past? What's the future look like, really?
You know what? And again, my own personal opinion here, because I honestly, if I could, CVs would be out the window for me. I think that they resemble, in some cases, what people wish they were, what people used to be, or what people actually are. So, and you can't really tell how true they are until you have a conversation. So every single resume that I review, I take it with a pinch of salt, and then I want to have the conversation. Let me speak with this person. Let me understand them as a person, them as a whole. What do they love to do? There's also the other side of it where people have all this experience built up in a certain area, but they don't actually want to do that anymore because it's not fulfilling. But their resume speaks tenfold in terms of that specific role, and they don't know how to transition out. And I always say to my hiring managers, especially when I see a case of, you know, give this person an opportunity because you won't regret it. I say, you have to go in blind, you know, pretend you haven't seen a resume, pretend you haven't seen anything, but listen to what I've told you in regards to the screening process and what we've spoken about, and go with that information and that data rather than just taking the CV for what it is, because people can surprise you. And in fact, some people that dull their CVs right down are actually the best. They're like the little hidden gems, and they've got all of these other experiences and soft skills, etc. But again, a piece of paper cannot show you that. I don't know what the next gen resume will be, who knows with IT, it could be anything, right? But I definitely think there's room for improvement there, you know, and being able to profile yourself or send your profile. Maybe there's an opportunity for someone to build a platform with profiling CVs where you can add a little video of yourself and, you know, kind of just explain who you are as a person, rather than putting it all down on a piece of paper, and then maybe just back it up with your employment and history and your education, and that's it. You know, like something cool like that. It's interactive, it's fun, and also we're all pretty much virtual. So it needs to be something that will grab your attention. I know the one thing for me, in terms of resumes standing out, they have to be neat and tidy. They have to have enough content, but not too much. And you need to be able to fit your experience between 2 and 4 pages, not anymore. Because ultimately, if I'm going through, say, I don't know, I've got however many live jobs on, and then I've got, say, I don't know, 300-400 applications, I physically do not have time to read more than four pages of a resume, you know, and so it needs to be that standout piece at the beginning to say, hey, this is who I am. This is what I am. This is what I love to do. This is why you should hire me. And this is where I've worked. That's it.
You sold me. I'm sold. No, I couldn't agree more, Natalia. You hit the nail on the head. Look, I do use a lot of LinkedIn to look at those profiles. I'm happy to use that. That's just from my point of view, but I do understand it's different. Processes in each organization that allow that need CVs and so forth, but totally understand. Look, Natalia, thank you very much for coming on today. I've got so much knowledge now in the last hour or so.
So I'm glad.
Heaps. But we'll definitely have to have you on and see how progressing next year with what's going on coming out of COVID, because I know the vaccines are coming through. There's a lot of change in the market. So interesting to see your perspective on how the market changes or not change, perhaps. Yeah. In the next year or so. But look, thank you very much. We'll make sure to have all your details underneath in the summary of this podcast and so forth.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Welcome back next year, and have a very nice Christmas. And
Thanks, Michael. Yeah, and you too. Have a lovely Christmas. Thanks so much for your time.
Pleasure.
See ya.